Thank you, Lord.
This first prayer request is for David Hillman, who is having surgery this morning. And then Sister Judy Gifford asked us to pray for her as she's speaking at Adam Pettit's Celebration of Life service today.
Amen. That's my friend there, people of God. I got to see her last night. All right. Well, Father God, we thank you for David Hillman, who is having surgery this morning. And so, God, I know that you are concerned about this particular individual, God, because you're concerned about all of us. And so I just pray, God, that your hand of mercy and grace would be there for him, that you would touch him in such a way, Lord, that he would feel such a peace, Lord, about what is about to transpire. He will just feel such a comfort of your spirit enveloping him, God. And as that transpires, Lord, I pray for everyone that will be attending him, Lord, with this surgery, with the doctors, physicians, nurses, all people, Lord, that have any part to do with this, Lord, that everything will go well concerning this surgery. No complications in any kind of way. We speak forth for a speedy recovery in this surgery, God. And we just thank you for the peace of God ruling in everyone's heart, everyone feeling the confidence, not self-confidence, but the confidence in you, God, that you've given them to let them know that they are capable to do what you've called them to do. And we thank you for it. Now, Father God, I pray for my friend, Sister Judy Gifford, Lord, who is will be speaking, Lord, at this particular celebration for Adam Pettit. And so, God, I just pray, Lord, that you would cause Judy, Lord, to receive your peace and receive the comfort of the Holy Ghost, to receive, Lord, what she needs, Lord, to say and to speak. Lord, I believe she already has it in her because it's coming up very quickly for her to speak. And so I thank you for what you've given her already to share. And that as she shares it, Lord, that it would reach out to the family, to the friends, Lord, of this individual, that it would cause them to feel peace. It would cause them to have the joy of the Lord as their strength. Lord, you, in your word, it says that you give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so I pray, God, that the garment of praise would come up, Lord, within those individuals that know you, God, to celebrate the life of this individual. Because we know that one of these days, God, you're going to cause us all to be reunited with those that have gone on before us. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you, God, for what you're giving Judy. She will not feel that she's incapable in any way, but she will know that she can do all things through you, God, who gives her the strength. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
I'll take this.
I'm going to do the announcement first, y'all. Saturday night, live gospel jamboree. Saturday night, May 14th, from 5 to 7, or until the music stops. Raiden, First Baptist Church, Falls Creek fundraiser. All churches and communities are invited to participate. However, the deadline for registration has ended. So, if you would like more information, you can contact Tanya Thompson at 580-497-6979. This is a donation fundraiser only. So, let's go out there and support these people. Let them have a great time in Falls Creek. And then the Refuge Church, located at 18410 Highway 152 in Sayre. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey is an amazing woman of God. If you'd like more information about that church, her church, you can contact Pastor Tammy at 580-729-0956. And then Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. And Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you like some custom designs in wood, you can reach Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
At Bordice and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive. And we're giving thanks to every one of our customers for allowing us to be your Ford dealer for the past 27 years. As the weather is changing, we encourage you to visit our service department if your brakes are squeaking, your heater is struggling, or your vehicle isn't running at top performance. And shop our new and pre-owned inventory with vehicles arriving daily. Experience the Barber Dyson difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at BarberDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. Our guest for today is Miss Melanie Randall. Her title this morning is Let the Garment Go. Wow, this has been an amazing message. Back to you, Miss Melanie.
Praise God. Isaiah 61 and 10. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. The garments of salvation. This is the garment that you want to have on now.
Come on.
This is not the one to let go.
Come on.
This is the one to hold tightly to, I'm telling you. Mm. The garment of salvation is the garment of deliverance, the garment of prosperity, and not just financial, but prosper in all things. The garment of safety, the garment that gets you victory. These are the terms that I saw in the Strong's Concordance. These are the garments that you want to have on now. The garments of being rescued. I tell you what, now that's the garment I want to wear. That is the garment. Now the robe of righteousness. The robe of righteousness speaks of also of justice, of moral virtue, of moderately or moderation. And it also speaks of prosperity as well. The garment of salvation is that we are delivered from the penalty of sin. From the penalty of sin and from the penalty of death. Because people out in the graveyard are not going to stay there forever. Oh, yeah. People going to come up out of that grave on both sides account. Believe you me. Everybody's not staying in the graveyard forever. People are coming out and they're going to one or two places. And so we are, those of us that know God, we are delivered from the penalty of sin and death. And then after we have that initial deliverance, we are wrapped in God's righteousness. It's not just something that's just put on, you know, before us, at the front of us, but we are wrapped in it. You see what I'm saying? We are covered. We are completely, totally covered in the righteousness of God. And so, and it has to be the righteousness of God, because the scripture let us know that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And I believe that's in Isaiah 64 and 6. And so, you know, it's not about our righteousness, but the righteousness of God. Let's go to Matthew 22. And I'm going to start reading at verse 11, talking about the wedding feast. But the king, when the king came in to see the guests. Now, maybe let me tell you what's happened, because I'm coming in the middle of the story here. There's been a call been sent out for people to come to a particular wedding feast. And so they, certain people were invited, but, you know, they wouldn't come because they felt like they had other things to do. And so they wouldn't come. So the king decided to let, you know, others that were without, others in the hedges, highways, byways, wherever, just anybody, whoever they were, be good or bad people, whoever, just invite them all to come to the wedding feast. And so the wedding hall now has been filled with all these particular guests. And so we get to verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. For many are outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." And so you have all these people that have been called to the wedding feast, but as they come, they must wear the particular wedding garment. And this is a parable now. And so this, you have to look, there's a call that's going out, a call to all people of all nations, tribe, kindreds. This call is for us to come into the kingdom of God. But we have to, when we come in, we have to accept the righteousness of God that he's given us. We have to accept the gift of salvation. We have to put on that robe to be able to be a part of the kingdom. We come in and we wear that garment of salvation. We wear that robe of righteousness. We don't come in any other way through what Jesus has afforded us through his death on the cross. Okay? So the wedding guest needs to be clothed in the righteousness of God. Keep that in mind. Now, think about, I'm going back to Genesis for just a moment. Think about Adam and Eve in the beginning. In the beginning, they were clothed in innocence, and they were clothed in the righteousness of God in the very beginning. But when they sinned, think about this. When they sinned, all innocence was lost. And that breached their fellowship with God. And so they lost their standard, their state of being, rather, in the righteousness of God. And they saw that they were naked. And so they took fig leaves, it said, and they sewed them together to cover themselves. That's in Genesis 3 and 7. And then when you go on to Genesis 3 and 27, when God judges them and punishes them and gets ready to put them out of the garden, it says that God made tunics of skin and clothed them. He didn't let them go out with those fig leaves on. And one thing about God, God's way of doing things is always a better way. I just look at it, you know, the God just has a better way of doing things. He knew what they needed to be wearing for whatever the atmosphere would be when they stepped out of Eden. And so he had, you know, he's looking at them. They got those fig leaves. No, that's not good enough. And so he has skins made off from the animals, and they're to wear those as they go out of the garden. Think about Jesus, the garments that Jesus had on before he was put on the cross. scriptures say in John 19:2, the soldiers put on him a purple robe. And then when you go down to verses 22 through 24, it says that his robe and garments were divided. His garments were divided in four parts among the soldiers, but there was a seamless robe or tunic, and they did not tear that. They did not. And I've always been, wondering about this seamless robe. It just fascinates me that there was a tunic or robe that Jesus wore that had not been sewn together, but it still was all intact to wear as a tunic. That's just fascinating me. I tried to do some study on that, but I couldn't find anything, concretely on, why or how it got that way. But anyway, they did not tear that because it had already been prophesied in Psalms 22:18 that they would not tear this garment and that they would cast lots for it and that they would part the other garments. And so Jesus' garments were left to the discretion of others. And as Joseph, with the tunic that was taken from him, you don't see Jesus, saying anything more about his garments, being taken from him. He's not, looking at them saying, you you shouldn't have taken that. That doesn't belong to you. He's not saying that to the soldiers. That is not Jesus' concern at the moment. Nothing is mentioned in scripture of Jesus asking back for his clothing, for his garments. Think about that. It doesn't say anything on that wise as to what, them taking his garments and him asking, why are you taking my garment? When you go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 40, and this was before Jesus went to the cross, and he was teaching the disciples. He says, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. So that gives me to see a little bit of the mindset of Jesus. They have taken my tunic, let them have it. He told the disciples, if they take your tunic, give them your cloak. In other words, don't be so concerned about what you are wearing till you can't go forth in the ministry that I've given you to do. See, Jesus had come here on a mission, and so he could not be so upset about them taking his tunic, his garment, that he could not finish out his mission. What were the concerns of Jesus as he was dying on the cross, since it wasn't that? Well, for one, he asked God to forgive the people that were crucifying him. He said they didn't know what they were doing, so, he asked God to forgive them. For number two, he told John to take care of his mother, Mary, while he was on the cross. And number three, he saved one of the thieves while he was dying on the cross. See, we got to see what's of more value, what's important here. It wasn't about them taking his garment and him getting upset about that. Matter of fact, he's still ministering as he's dying on the cross. He was able to let the garment go. Y'all getting this here? He was able to let it go. He was yet in ministry mode even unto death. Why? Because he's already in his teaching to the disciples. He's already told them, and given your life, you're going to surely pick it up again. So don't seek to save it, because in the end, if you lose it, you will be unsaved it. Oh, my. He didn't. Think about even in the burial cloths and what he was, wrapped up in. When he came out of the grave, he didn't come up out of the grave wearing those burial cloths. Those things were still laid up in the grave. The only thing that bore witness to his crucifixion were the nail prints in his hands and feet, which are the scars of our salvation. The burial clothes were death clothes, and so they stayed where they needed to be, buried in the grave. I want you to know that God has let you know, us know, we that know and love and serve him, that at the end of this journey, God will give us a new garment, which to wear if we remain faithful. Let's go to Revelation. The more I see this going on in the world around me, the more I'm looking and being excited about going to heaven. My goodness. I tell you. Revelation 3 and 5. It says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He's speaking to the church of Sardis, if I'm not mistaken there. Yes. And then verse 6 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so in the speaking to these seven churches, they're representative of how the church is now. And he's telling us what we can expect. Those that overcome shall be clothed in white garments. Revelation chapter 19. Let's go there. Revelation chapter 19. And begin at verse 6. And it says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen. Does it kind of remind you what Joseph had on? Fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Our purification will be made complete in us wearing these white, fine linen clothes. See, that's what white stands for, you know. Go to verse in that same chapter 13, and it's talking about how he's going to come on a white horse and the armies of heaven with him. He was clothed, and this is during the end of the tribulation period when he comes on the horse. It says, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. You know, we see the color white here, but you just got to imagine. The white that is in heaven has to be almost like blinding like lightning. Oh, good. Could you see this massive army of God's people coming to this earth at the end, in this battle? Notice how it described. Now, it's already told you it's white in fine linen, but it says it's white and clean. Why did it have to specify? Because they want you to know that it's pure. It's completely pure. There's no spot. There's no blemish. There's no mistakes made. It's complete, and it's as it should be. My God. Our purification made complete in the garment that we will be wearing. See, it's going to symbolize what has already transpired within us inwardly. The garment that you have on now, you don't have to be so concerned about that being, but you got to be more concerned about your inward. You got to make sure that you're wearing the garment of salvation, that robe of righteousness, that you're speaking in a manner that God wants you to speak, that you're acting in a manner that God wants you to act, that you're going into places that God would be pleased in you going to, that you're conducting yourself in a rightful manner. You got to be concerned about those things, because the garment that you're going to eventually wear will be that, because it represents what you already are. My God, it will be representing what you're already wearing in. And so I'm looking forward to my new garment. And as you have heard me say in times previous, now I'm sure you understand now why I say wear this world as a loose garment. Mm. You can understand that better now. Wear the world as a loose garment that you can get on out of here, not clinging to things so tightly here like you don't have no other place that you're going to. We got a better place to go. We got better things to see, got better things to do. I'm telling you. And so I hope this has been a word that gets you in line to be, you know, where you're wearing your garment of salvation and your robe, being completely covered in your robe of righteousness, looking forward to your new garment in the heavenlies. God bless each of you.
I just want to sit here and marinate for a while in this word, y'all. It's that good. I just want to sit here like a sponge and soak it all up for a long minute.
I want to tell our listeners or our viewers, we had an issue with Facebook, which some of you tuned in late and didn't know anyway, but it'll be in two parts, and there's a little part in the middle that we missed, but we'll have it all posted on our website, therockchristianmusic.com, and go to the Hour of Power and then click on Friday, and you can hear the entire message there in a little bit. It takes a few minutes to get it moved over there, so give it a little bit of time and then go there, because this was too incredible to miss. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when the enemy can throw a monkey wrench in things, he will, just to keep you from hearing. But we've got two or three ways you can hear. So praise God.
Would you like to pray us out, Sister Melanie?
Amen. Well, Father God, we thank you for this time. I'm always excited to be here, God. So I just thank you what you've given in my spirit to share. And I just believe that someone, Lord, has received it. And that they're going to run with this thing, God, to know that they are clothed with their garment of salvation and robed in righteousness and awaiting that garment in heaven. And so, Father God, I pray for each and every one that they will keep that in mind. They will not let the enemy steal what has been planted within them, but they will continue to hold fast to the word of God, to the word of truth. And that it will keep them until that day, to your coming. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, God. Amen.
Amen. Again, you have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Miss Neva Pyatt, and from our gorgeous sister in Christ, Miss Melanie Randall, y'all have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Now, stay tuned. This will end, and then give us a few minutes to redo the iPad and get it set up again, and we'll have a message from Pastor Dwight with the Truth Broadcast. I had to untangle my tongue for a minute, y'all. Y'all have a blessed weekend.
Let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.